Good morning. I'm glad you're here today. I hope you're glad to be here today. We are continuing our series, Through His Eyes. And I don't know about you, but I really enjoyed studying and preaching this series. And I hope it's been meaningful to you. Today we're going to talk about proven love. Proven love. And I believe God's going to speak to some people's hearts here today in a way that He never has before. And if He does, don't let it scare you. Receive it. Embrace it. When the Holy Spirit touches your heart, let Him have it. We're going to begin today in Romans 5:8. If you want to turn there in your Bibles or on your electronic devices, Romans 5:8. But as we do, I want to ask you a question this morning. I don't want you to answer it out loud. I want you to answer it to yourself, and then you'll have plenty of time today to think about it. But I want to ask you this question right now. Do you love God? Do you love God? Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I want you to look at a significant word there on the screen. What did God do? He demonstrates His love. He demonstrates His love toward us. That's key. As a Christian, you should be responsive to opportunities to share mercy and love. You see, we should recognize opportunity to extend God's love when it arises. He may be asking you to show love to a neighbor, to a relative, to a coworker, or someone maybe you've been ignoring or avoiding for a while. Let me say it this way. If you say you love God, if you say you have God's love, you can and you will prove it. Let me say that again. If you say that you have God's love, you can and you will prove it. Now, I'm not trying to put you on some guilt trip this morning to do something crazy or weird or dangerous, but if love is not demonstrated, it's either useless or it's just not there. And here's the point. A dull heart turns into a hard heart. You see, that doesn't always happen all of a sudden. It happens over a period of time, gradually, subtly. Our heart toward God grows dull because maybe we're not in connection with Him. We're not in His Word. We're not talking to Him. We're not listening to Him. We're not worshiping Him. Maybe, but over subtly, we grow dull in our love. And then the next thing you know, you have a hard heart. A dull heart turns into a hard heart. In other words, if you continually ignore or avoid compassion's opportunity, eventually you won't have to ignore it anymore because you won't even notice it. It happens, and it happens in churches. God wants to bring miracles into our lives and the lives of others. Amen. And miracles start with acts of compassion or prayers of compassion. You see, Jesus had compassion, and the result was forgiveness. Restoration and healing. So what does that mean? It means that love activates faith. Love activates faith. Turn over to Galatians 5, 6. Or actually, I'm just going to put it out. You may not have the Amplified. I want to share it with you in the Amplified version on the screen. For if we are in Christ Jesus, neither the circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but only faith activated and expressed and working through what? Are y'all awake this morning?
Yes, sir.
Come on, let's wake up. We need to go back and worship again. If we're in Christ Jesus, nothing else matters except faith activated and expressed and working, moving, being through love. And that love is the difference. Because, see, we can be activated and expressing and going through motions and doing all kinds of religious activities without any love, like a robot's. And it doesn't have any effect on anybody or anything. The Bible shows different levels of faith. As you read your Bible, you see strong faith, you see weak faith, you see overcoming faith, outstanding of faith, amazing faith, great faith, you see little faith, you see no faith in the Bible. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, going forward a little bit. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 17, beginning in verse 17. Still with me? Okay, I'm going to keep waking you. Waking and shaking, okay? This is good stuff. Amen. Not because I said it, because he said it. Amen. Verse 17, Paul is authoring a prayer here. And as we get into the prayer, we're already into the prayer on verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through what?
Faith.
That you, being rooted and grounded in what?
Love.
Think about those words, rooted and grounded in love. That's big. That's huge. Amen. That doesn't happen like automatically or easily. That's a place we have to go to continually. So that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and the depth, and the height. To know Christ, and he's speaking of that love, by the way, and to know Christ, which is key, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Do you know the love of Christ is beyond our knowledge, our comprehension? We can't comprehend it. We can only take what our brains can contain. He's praying that we will comprehend, because we're rooted and grounded in love, that we'll comprehend Christ's love. To know the love of Christ, verse 19, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Amen. Fullness of God is His Spirit. This is, Paul's talking about agape love. What the Bible refers to as agape love. It's the God kind of love. Not the love that most of us know as human beings, that's based on emotions and feelings and deals. It's a God kind of love. Has very little to do with emotion, but much to do with self-denial in favor of others. Let me say that again. It has much to do with self-denial in favor of others. Amen. It gives without expectation of anything in return. Amen. It operates best with those that are unappealing and unlovable. It's not natural, and it's not human. It's a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And this level of love only flows through vessels from God, from our Heavenly Father. Here's the point. God's love. God's love must be the standard and the motive. See, we can do good things for people and help them out or be nice to them or pretend like we're love on them, and we can have the wrong motive. We can be doing it to look good, to feel good, sound good, or maybe to get something in return. God's love has to be the standard and the motive of what we do. Okay, 1 Corinthians, back to the left. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you've been around church at all, you've probably heard this. Some of this. It's called the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned, but have not love, profits me nothing. Faith and love need to work together so that love can guide us to the right place, the right people, at the right time. Faith and love need to work together so that God's Spirit can guide us, His love can guide us to the right place, the right people, at the right time. See, if we don't reach this level of love in our hearts, even with faith, God's power won't be activated. Love and faith work together. When we don't use our faith, it becomes stagnant and weak. Do you ever notice you get busy, busy at work, busy with family crisis or something going on, and you go 4 or 5 days or a week, haven't prayed, haven't read your Bible, just been in the fast and furious lane. And then all of a sudden it's like, ugh, I don't feel close to God. I don't sense His presence. Our faith can become stagnant, and it can be a subtle thing. But once it becomes stagnant, then it becomes weak. You see, we have to yield to love for our faith to be fruitful. Passionate love triggers faith that moves. Passionate love triggers faith that moves. Turn back to the left a little bit. 1 Corinthians in chapter 9. Verse 27. Paul says this for a reason. He says, but I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself might become disqualified. Here's what he's saying. Love practices what it preaches. Amen. Love practices what it preaches. Paul's saying, I have to guard myself. I have to discipline myself so that when I speak God's word, I don't take a few steps down the road and slip up and blow it and then disqualify everything I've said. Paul's saying he's being careful to practice what he preaches. The message he preaches has to be backed up by the life he lives. My words are only qualified by my life. We can talk about love all day long, but only the demonstration of it makes it effective and fruitful. Only the demonstration of it. Remember that first scripture, Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His love? God demonstrated His love. And if we don't demonstrate it, it's worthless. And I don't mean go through the motions. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about real love. God's love. You're probably thinking, Pastor, I have a busy schedule. Well, welcome to my world. But that's not an excuse to ignore interruptions that hit us. Many of them are God-given opportunities to practice what you preach. Many of you that have been here for a while know we have some homeless people that we minister to. They live in the woods and different places around. And sometimes on Sunday they come in here to church. Last Thursday I was in the office and one of them, they're staying now. They've been, what's the word I'm looking for? They've been evicted out of the woods here to way down the road a few couple of miles. So it's more difficult for them to get here. But on Friday, we get some of them, they get mail here and packages that family sends them and all. And there was a package there. And Jen said, she can't come get it. And she was very sick and been in the hospital. So anyway, I just was going to blow it off because I was busy. I had stuff to do. But that lasted about 30 seconds because the Holy Spirit said, you got 10 minutes to take that down there. So I told Jen, get the box ready, call her and tell her I'm coming. So I took it down there, sitting in front of Winn-Dixie on the sidewalk there, leaning against the wall, barefooted. So I got out, took the package to her, and I said to Cindy, it just, God told me to do it. I mean, I just, the Holy Spirit said, speak to her. As I handed her a box, I said, Cindy, look at me. And she thought I was going to scold her for some reason. She said, I went to my appointment, so I'm in trouble. I said, no, you're not. Look at me. I said, listen to me. Before you die, you need Jesus in your heart. She just began to cry. I know, Pastor, I want to come forward when I'm there on Sundays, but I'm scared. So I just took a few minutes to talk to her about her fear and stuff. And I don't know what God did with that. Not my deal. I did what I was supposed to do. But why do I say that? People in life need real Christians. You see, a lot of these interruptions in our life are God-given opportunities. Now, I didn't get in my truck and drive down the road there planning to say that. It wasn't until as I was handing her the box. What good is the message without application? Now, that was pretty abrupt and pretty hard, but it was the truth. And it was how it needed to be spoken. And I believe it was received, and I hope that seed takes root. But what good is the message without application? People in life need real Christians, not just people who say they believe in Jesus. They need us to live like Jesus, to see what he sees, to take him, to talk like him, to walk like him. Not being perfect, but being real. Being real. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You can turn a page. I know you're not that quiet. Let's go. Come on. You still with me? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What is the treasure we have? The gospel. The gospel. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. When we get saved, when we give our life to Christ, we have that treasure that he's given us in earthen vessels. We have it. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Not my power. It's God's power in us. that enables us to have a God kind of love that he wants us to have. Paul says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. What's that mean? He's saying our lives speak louder than our words. Our lives speak louder than our words. People can argue with what you say, but they can't argue with what you live. You need to think about that. They can argue with what you try to tell them all day long, but they can't argue with what they see, how you live. And that's what Paul's saying here. When we consistently demonstrate the peace of God in the middle of our own problems, people will want what you have. When we live with joy in spite of the challenges of life, when we walk in love toward those who don't love us, the world will take notice. And they'll seek you out when they're in pain. They'll seek you out, not because of who we are, but who we have in us. He, God, he is the one who changes and rearranges lives. He is the one who gives new hope. He is the one that they'll seek new life from because of the hope that we've shared with them. Jesus demonstrated his love for us. He sent his son, Jesus. But why did Jesus come? Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy, and love is what does that. Love destroys the work of the enemy. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. 1 John 3:8. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might what? Destroy the works of the devil. Destroy the works of the devil. There it is. So God gave his Son to destroy the works of the devil by defeating sin and death and giving grace, freedom, and life to people. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes, he's speaking of the devil, only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that us may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly, abundant life. You see, whatever the method that the enemy uses to steal, kill, or destroy in your life, Jesus came to destroy those specific things that come against you. If the enemy attacks with lust, Jesus came to destroy that lust. If the enemy attacks you with fear, Jesus came to destroy that grip of fear, because it keeps you from God's blessings. Any work the enemy uses, anger, jealousy, envy, pride, resentment, addictions, Jesus came to destroy it before it destroys you. Amen. Jesus came to destroy those things in your life before they destroy you. See, you don't have to be a slave to Satan's power. Jesus came to bring freedom, to cut the ties that bind and entangle us. Jesus came to deliver you from deadly influences of pain, of poverty, sickness, oppression, and depression. To give us something better to give us life abundantly, more abundantly. You see, the word mercy is used many times in the Bible. But most of the time, probably 3/4 of the time, when you read the word mercy in the Bible, it's in the context of compassion. Mercy is what pain and suffering cries out for. And so, proven love. The proof of our love is demonstrated by the mercy and kindness we show to others. The proof of our love is demonstrated by the mercy and the kindness that we show others. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. The proof of our love is demonstrated by how we extend mercy. Verse 17, Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. In verse 23, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Do it as to the Lord, not to men. Whether it's word, something you say, or whatever you speak. You see, we need some help in kids, in the kids ministry. But you don't go serving kids ministry for me. Or Christina, the kids pastor. If you're doing it for us, forget it. Forget it. You need to be doing it for the Lord. He wants those children to be ministered to. He wants us to be ministered to. Whatever you do, do it as to the Lord. You're doing it for the Lord, or you should be. If you're not doing it for the Lord, forget it. It's not happening. See, our actions need to be for the right motive. What we say or do should be in Jesus' name for God. We don't do good for the favor of man. Our motive for extending mercy is to honor God. Choosing to live life to please God should be a desire, not a human or legalistic rule or directive to follow. Living our life to please God should be a desire. Walk in compassionate love to honor our Father in heaven, amen, not for the praise of men. Amen. You see, the motive behind acts of compassion, which is mercy, is born of a heart that loves God, amen, and loves people. See, we can't love people apart from God. Let me say that again. We can't love people apart from God. Amen. Well, why do you say that, Pastor? Because it's not in us. Not the God kind of love. Not apart from Him. Not apart from Him. We can't love people apart from God because God's love is supernatural. Amen. It's not natural. Amen. What I did with that woman down there in front of Winn-Dixie was not natural. It was not natural. Our natural or our flesh responses to people comes from our nature. We need God's nature, amen, His Spirit, amen, His Holy Spirit, to enable us to give God's love to others. Amen. Bless you almost. Thank you. 1 John 4:20. I think this is an amplified version. If anyone says, I love God, and hates, now look at this, or works against his Christian brother, he's a liar. Wow. Strong words. For the one who does not love his brother whom he sees, whom he's seen, cannot love God whom he hasn't seen. Now, I didn't make that up. It's in the Bible. So don't get mad at me. But what he's saying here, you can't say you love God, not love a brother or sister. Have unforgiveness, bitterness, anger toward them. Resentment that you just hold on to. Can't love God and do that. He says, if you say you love God and you do that, you're a liar. It's quiet in here now. Listen to me. I'm going to ask the worship team to just make your way up quietly. Listen to me. Those are strong words. Let's leave that up for just a minute. If anyone says, I love God and hates, or listen, you don't have to. Let's get the context of hate. There's a context here. Works against, have ought against, have ill feelings for, unforgiveness for. Those things we can't hold on to and love God. Because those things can't coexist with the love of God. And so I want you to listen to me right now. Okay? There's probably people sitting here today who struggle with this issue. You have ill will, unforgiveness, bitterness, strife, or anger towards someone. Maybe even a family member. And you say you love God. And you mean it. But look at what God's word says. He says that's not the truth. That's not truth. Your love for God is proven by your love for others. Period. Your love for God is proven by your love for others. Period. Explanation point. End of sentence. I know that's hard. Because people wound us. People leave us. People hurt us. But God demonstrated His love for us. That while we were sinners, you see, what we need to think about is when we think about that person that wounded us, that person that left us, hurt us, think about it. Probably 99.9% of us have wounded someone else at some time in our life. And we want forgiveness. Don't we? So why would we hold that against someone else? I know it's not easy. That's why we need the God kind of love. Human love fails. Human love is conditional. But God's love is unconditional. And it releases bitterness and anger and resentment of others. And it heals our wounds. God's love will heal our wounds if we'll allow it. Let it and allow it. Your love for God is proven by your love for others. And listen, if you're in that boat this morning, maybe unforgiveness, bitterness, anger against someone, maybe a family member, maybe a loved one, maybe a stranger, maybe just someone you know. God's not mad at you. God's not mad at you, but He doesn't want you to be mad either. He doesn't want you to be mad because it blocks His blessings from your life. It hinders His movement in your life. And it opens the door for the enemy to come in and wreak havoc in your life. I'm going to ask that opening question again. Do you love God? Do you love God? And if the answer is yes, then this question is necessary. Is your love for God proven by your love for others? Is your love for God proven by your love for others? Let's pray. Are you hurting this morning? Have you been corrected by God's word this morning? I can't do anything about it. I've done my part. I've given you the truth. I've given you God's word. It's up to you now. If you want to be released from your prison, pour your heart out to God. Let go of resentment, unforgiveness, bitterness. Quit running from God. Quit fighting with God. He's trying to get his arms around you, to love you, not to take life away from you, to give you life. It's up to you. Got people around here that'll pray with you. I'll pray with you. If God's speaking to your heart, don't stop right now. Don't pull back. Pastor Bill's at the back. I'm here. There's people here to pray for you. What do you need to do? Don't leave here today without God's love. Don't let the enemy lie to you. He's whispering to some of you, you're okay. That wasn't for you. He meant that for someone else. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. Listen to the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart, wanting to bring healing and wholeness and health and life, much more. Father, thank you for the truth of your word that you've spoken to us today. God, we take no credit for our lives, what we are, who we are today. We give all the credit to you for all that we are and all that we can be. I pray, Father, today in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit continue to move in this place, that he would free people from their hurt, from their wounds, from bitterness, anger, resentment, in Jesus' name. That they would stop living in the past and start living in the present so they can have your future. So that you can fulfill your plans for them. Not to harm them, but to give them a hope and a future. In Jesus. God, take them out of the past. Release, help them release the past. And fall into your presence. By faith. And be washed in your love. Washed in your love. God, we thank you. We just thank you that you proved your love. And now, Father, we receive. We receive your directive, your yearning, your desire that we now prove our love. We prove our love for you by our love for others. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You're such a good, good God. A good, good Father. You never let us down. We pray these things in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Before we move on to our offering, I just want to say something about this little card that's in your bulletin. We put them in there last week in case you weren't here, so that you'd have an opportunity to have one, and we'll have some more at the desk if you need some next week. But this is an encouragement, yet a challenge. You look on the back of this, it talks about prayer. Billy Graham talks about prayer. It's crucial in evangelism. Only God can change the heart. No matter how logical our arguments or how fervent our appeals are, our words will accomplish nothing unless God's Spirit prepares the way. I've challenged the church to pray and ask God to give you the names of some folks that's in your life or that you're aware of in your life, and to put their name on here. Write their names. I wrote down 3 last week God gave me. This is taped right on my desk where I see it every day, all throughout the day, so I can pray for them. He's just given me 2 more to add yesterday. But I challenge you to do this. I challenge you to love those people enough that you know are without Christ, to write their names down and then commit to pray for them over the next couple of months and pray that they would come to Christ before 2016 is out. Love, unless it's demonstrated, is meaningless. And that is one act of love that we all can do. We can all pray for someone. So I want to challenge you to do that. Ushers, if you'll come and receive our tithes and offerings today, please.